And happy Thursday, everyone. We're back to doing the stories. Actually, we're back in the coin jar, and we're with a story goodbye to all that. And we've got some doings over in Magnolia, having to do with a girlfriend, a wannabe girlfriend, and well, we'll just go sort of let it come out here. I'm going to kind of watch here and see what 15 minutes or so will bring me. I do have a timer on this recorder, so I can do that. In the meantime, put down one thing, and let's go in for another. The chapter we're going to start with is called Countdown. I wonder if she'll forgive me. Two different men, 1,000 miles apart, were thinking about two different women who were talking with each other in the living room of a small house in Magnolia, Ohio. What we're dealing with here is a simple case of accelerating your relationship. Will needs a good, swift kick in the ass, that's all. Gwen Martin was giving Jeannie Turner a final run-through of what would transpire the next evening at Ding's Chinese restaurant at nearby Prentice. "What if Warren takes me seriously?" Jeannie asked. "I'll worry about Warren. Just stay focused, okay?" Jeannie agreed before disappearing into her bedroom to emerge in a set of flannel pajamas. "Wait a minute. Mess up your hair a little bit and let me take a picture." Gwen produced her cell phone and took a picture of Jeannie in her pajamas. "When Will comes around, I would suggest ditching those things, at least for a while." Jeannie and Gwen spent another couple of hours exchanging secrets and dreams before Gwen called it a night and walked back over to the blue and the gray. Warren Smith spent less time than usual gaming on the internet. Instead of turning the computer off, he found a website which featured naked or nearly naked women exposing themselves in front of their webcams. The balance in his bank account allowed him to engage in a session with a woman named Desire in California, who talked with him and got him hot and bothered enough so that he had a happy ending with the date with his hand. Desire was actually a college student in Athens, Ohio, named Amy, who was roommates with Warren's younger sister, Wendy. After signing off and cleaning up, Warren went to bed, waking up again at 3 a.m. for another successful date. He was practicing, hoping for a real woman the coming night. After wishing now that his ex-wife would forgive him for the affair that he had with the other woman, Warren Dubois opened an email from an agent he had in Canada. There's a minor swell of interest in a revival of Goodbye to All That, and the agent was wondering if Warren knew where Gwen was and if she might be interested in appearing in such a project. Warren wrote back to the agent, telling him the truth about his current situation. He promised that if he were able to connect with Gwen over the weekend, though, he would have her get in contact with the agent. Later, he sat in bed, wondering if maybe he should go back home to Canada, to the quaint little town in Quebec where he grew up. He drifted off with sleep with images of a grand homecoming. Will Cheney stayed up for a while, pondering his next move. It was too late to call Gwen to cancel his date with her. It was also too late for him to walk over to Jeannie's in hopes that if he stood outside her door, she would eventually let him in and forgive him. He pulled out one of the tapes he had of Goodbye to All That and put it in his VCR. It was one of his favorite episodes where Gwen's character was starstruck at the possibility of meeting one of her favorite singers. As the episode unfolded, she found that the singer she was so anxious to meet ended up not even coming close to her expectations. The plot of that particular episode Will chose to view that evening was remarkably similar to the situation he now found himself in. Certainly he was headed toward disappointment. He lay in bed wondering exactly what to do, worried that if Jeannie was right and she did have another iron in the fire, he might find out that he had missed the love of his life twice within a single week. Jeannie Turner and Warren Dubois were roused from slumber by their alarm clocks. Jeannie promised to put a half day in at the clerk's office before heading back home to prepare for her date with Warren Smith. Warren Dubois got packed for his trip to the airport. He He was going to allow plenty of time to get there so we could get through the checkpoints before they got too busy. It was Friday, after all, and everybody and his brother was heading somewhere for the weekend. By the time Jeannie finished her breakfast, Warren Smith was arriving for a day of work at the lumberyard. He figured that if he got in at 7, his supervisor would see his way clear to let him go home a little early at 4. "You got a hot date?" the supervisor asked. "Sure do," Warren replied. "Don't forget to take some protection." Warren hoped that the drugstore apprentice would sell him something or sell him condoms without asking any embarrassing questions. For that matter, he hoped that Wayland Church wasn't working. Wayland dated Warren's younger sister on weekends when she was home from college. Gwen came down to breakfast at about the same time her ex-husband threw his carry-on into the back end of the Miata he bought as a just-divorced present. He already hated the car. Gwen took her coffee and a lighter-than-usual breakfast back up to her room. She usually talked with Richard, but he was too busy working on the weekend reservations to take notice of her. Will was happy that he'd finally gotten enough sleep. He prepared breakfast while watching the weather forecaster on Channel 4, who was giving a detailed forecast for the expected winter storm, which was coming in. It wasn't supposed to hit until around 9, by which time he would be back in Magnolia after dinner with an apprentice with Gwen. The way he figured it, the storm would be a blessing. He could get through his date, get home, and not have to worry about the gang coming in from Columbus on Saturday. After breakfast, he spent an hour straightening up more while he was wondering if it would be okay to give Gwen his collection of tapes from Goodbye to All That as a friendship gift. He dressed, walked down to Village Hardware, purchased a storage container, then went home to put the gift together. Gwen drove over to the property on the outskirts of Magnolia to have another look. She walked the property alone, marveling at the winter landscape, picturing where she would build her house. There would, no doubt, be plenty of work to get the place just as she wanted. The architect she hired had already drawn several sketches, which she would be considering. At about 2:30, she headed back to the blue and gray so that she could get ready for her date. She decided that she would dress down, cover her assets, so to speak. She would dress as Jeannie would normally dress. Hopefully, Will would get the signal. They could be friends. That's all. Will and Jeannie had been together far too long, and besides, she was not about to play the part of the other woman. While Gwen was driving back into Magnolia, Warren Dubois was fretting at the baggage claim at the airport in Columbus. He hoped to get his bags, get his rental car, and drive to Magnolia to check in at the Blue and the Gray. He wanted to have enough time to settle in a bit before heading off to Prentice for dinner. Warren reset his watch to Eastern time while waiting for his bags, which naturally ended up being the last down the chute and onto the carousel. Running right on time, he thought when he took his bags to the car rental desk. "Hello, my name is Joel." The rental agent made it certain that his customer had the blue Chevy Malibu he had requested, providing him with a map and a set of keys. "You look vaguely familiar," the agent told Warren Dubois. "Where do I know you from?" Warren quickly sized up the agent. Someone in his mid to late 40s, not particularly the type who'd been in Los Angeles during Warren's month-long TV wrestling career, and had most likely never been to Canada to have seen him in Goodbye to All That. "A common face, I guess," Warren told the agent. He took his keys and the rental agreement and went to meet the rental shuttle. Joel, in the meantime, was still scratching his head about that customer, the Texan with a slight accent he couldn't quite place. Gerald Wyndham called Warren Smith into his office just a few minutes after 3. "Your supervisor said you came in earlier than usual this morning. Are you looking for overtime or do you have a date tonight?" Gerald figured that Warren was looking for more money in his paycheck. Warren never went out to dates as far as Gerald could figure. "I have a date." Gerald didn't see that coming. "I want to go home so I can prepare myself." "Okay," Gerald said slowly, trying to wrap his brain around the fact that his employee, one he thought of being as a loner, was going on a date. For an instant, he thought about asking if Warren's date was male or female, but decided against it. He thought he was better off not knowing. Gerald excused Warren for the remainder of the day, telling him that he might want to be careful to get home early because of the expected snowstorm that evening. Warren drew his paycheck and headed up to Prentice to spend it on a new bottle of aftershave and a box of condoms. Waylon Church was at the drugstore just as Warren had feared. The transaction occurred without comment, although Warren felt funny about it. There's plenty of time, Warren thought when he got to his efficiency apartment. Instead of cleaning up for his date right away, he settled down to his computer to immerse himself in an online game. When he finished, he noticed the time. He was going to be picked up in less than 15 minutes. Gwen was somewhat quick about her preparations for her date with Will. She found a dress which wasn't quite as new as the rest of her wardrobe, then combined the not-so-flattering dress with the least amount of makeup she felt she could get by with. Just after 4, Gwen got in her black Lincoln with the Texas plates and drove over to Jeannie's. Jeannie was just a little nervous about what would happen that evening. 15 minutes after Gwen arrived at Jeannie's house, she had allayed Jeannie's fears. "I'll stay with you until it's time to go," Gwen reassured her friend. It was at exactly that moment that Warren Dubois entered the front door of the Blue and the Gray. Warren checked in, then was escorted upstairs by Richard Elston to a large room which, if the party on the other side was amenable, connected to the other room. "The other room is already occupied by someone who values their privacy," Richard told his guest. "We hope that you will respect that." Richard did not mention that the room on the other side of that door was occupied by Warren's former co-star and former wife, the same woman he was hoping to see and offer an apology for their recently ended marriage. 2.5 blocks away, Will Cheney was putting the final touches on his apartment before cleaning himself and dressing for this very important date. Will had come to the conclusion that he would make the best of the evening, find some way to let his date down gently, then try to recruit her into winning back Jeannie. The expected snowstorm would allow him a cushion, preventing Joel and his usual band of trekkers from coming down to Magnolia, at least on Saturday as had been threatened. He thought about going online to see if Joel had seen the weather reports, but decided against it when he noticed there were at least a dozen more details to be taken care of before Gwen's expected arrival. Wendy Smith suggested to her roommate that since they were going to be snowed in if they stayed in Athens, they would instead travel over to Prentice for the weekend to visit Wendy's parents and maybe her brother, who worked in the lumberyard just south of Magnolia. The roommate, Amy, wanted to take the new car she had purchased out for a drive anyway, so she agreed. Amy and Wendy arrived in town to find that Wendy's parents had gone to Cincinnati for the weekend. Wendy called Waylon Church and suggested dinner at Ding's. "Ding's?" Wendy asked. "It's our version of Chinese food. Not a bad place, really." We're going to go ahead and, if you want to stay with me, we'll go ahead and conclude this story with 2 more chapters, The Best Laid Plans of Mice being the next one. It's time. Gwen left Jeannie's to go to Will's apartment to pick him up for the evening. He was sitting for her outside, dressed rather well, or so Gwen thought. He seemed to have a certain quality to him which actually appealed to her. Maybe he wasn't quite the clinging nerd that she thought he might be. For a brief moment, she thought that perhaps she should keep him for herself instead of endeavoring to get him to bond with Jeannie. Will watched Gwen pull her Lincoln next to his Prius. For a few moments, he fantasized about being kept by a woman of means in a gilded cage. He hopped in the car and exchanged pleasantries as they headed over to Prentice. He wondered when would be the best time to let her down. Less than a minute after Gwen left her house, Jeannie arranged herself one more time, then hopped into her car for the trip up to Prentice to pick up Warren Smith. "You're one hot mama," she smirked when she arrived at Warren's downtown walk-up. She waited a minute before getting out of the car to go upstairs to get him. "I was hoping you would not keep a girl waiting," she told him when he answered her knock at the door. She noticed a box of condoms carelessly left on the kitchen table. Warren stepped into the hallway outside his apartment, locking the door behind him. There was something about Jeannie which distracted him. He went downstairs, following her, hoping that by the time they got down to her car to head to Ding's, the erection he was starting to get would abate without her noticing it. Warren Dubois drove to Prentice to see if he could locate his ex-wife's car in the parking lot of the only Chinese restaurant in the area. He thought she had taken the Lincoln, but he wasn't quite certain until he arrived at the parking lot. There it was. It wasn't just anyone's black Lincoln with Texas plates. It was her black Lincoln with Texas plates, parked pointing the wrong direction in an angled parking space. Warren parked his blue rental car and arrived at the door at the same time as a couple of what appeared to be an older woman accompanying a younger man. She seemed to be about Gwen's age. He was no older than their oldest son. He held the door open for them to enter behind them, thinking, "Jesus, I hope that Gwen has at least enough sense to date someone her own age." Gwen parked her car in the way she usually did, so she would not have to back out of her parking space when it was time to go. She and Will were ushered into their seats by an older Chinese gentleman who promised them that their server would be with them in a moment. "Pardon me a moment," she told her date. Gwen pulled her phone out of her purse, noted the time, then turned it off. Conversation is always a lot better if uninterrupted. 5 minutes later, as if on cue, Jeannie came in through the front door of Ding's with Warren Smith. Gwen's jaw dropped to the ground when she saw who was behind them holding the door open. "Shit, it's Warren," she said in a stage whisper. Will looked toward the door to see Jeannie on Warren Smith's arm. "How the hell do you know him?" Will asked, thinking that she was referring to the person he habitually called the red-shirted know-nothing. "He's my husband. Was my husband," she hissed through clenched teeth, returning her head to the way, hoping not to be noticed. Will looked again. The Chinese gentleman who had seated them was now seating Jeannie and Warren Smith. He did a double take. The man who had been holding the door was looking around the restaurant for somebody. Will came to the realization that the man was looking for Gwen. He was much older than the character he played in Goodbye to All That, but Will recognized Warren Dubois from all the tapes he had collected. He looked back over to the table where Jeannie was sitting with Warren Smith. She had just taken off her coat and was leaning in his direction, pointing her cleavage directly toward him while she pretended to adjust her shoes. "Damn!" Will exclaimed. Warren Smith seemed oblivious to the situation. Will shifted his view to see the Chinese gentleman approaching Gwen's former husband. Warren Dubois indicated he wanted to sit at the table behind her. While he was being seated, the server came to take Will and Gwen's order. She'll have the dinner served here with me," Warren interrupted. "I'll have the Mugu Gaipan and a Coke." "No Coke, Pepsi," the server told him. "Whatever." Warren Dubois turned around in his chair. "Bonjour, Gwen. Didn't you expect to see me here, did you?" "Warren, I'll pay for your order if you just go away." "So who's the geek? One of your fans?" "If you must know, Warren, he's my fiancé," Warren and Will injected. He got out of his chair, went over to Gwen, got on one knee, took her hand and said, "Will you marry me?" Will Cheney had no idea whatsoever why he had asked the woman of his dreams, the woman he was about to shake hands with and part as friends at the end of the night, to marry him. He would later figure out that the move was purely defensive. "Fiancé," Gwen corrected herself. "Yes, Will, I accept." She raised out of her seat, raised Will up so that he stood, and then pulled his face up to hers to kiss him. The three most surprised people at Ding's at the moment were Warren Dubois, Will Cheney, and Jeannie Turner. She heard Will's proposal from across the room in disbelief. She stood up, leaned across the table, grabbed Warren Smith's face, and locked her lips on his as a gesture of defiance. It was Warren Smith's turn to be surprised. He was about to reach for Jeannie's breasts when his attention was drawn toward the door where his sister, her boyfriend, and another woman had just come in. Desire, he sputtered when he saw the woman who he had been seeing on the internet. Warren, his sister exclaimed. You're Warren? Asked Amy, also known as Desire. You want to sit together? The Chinese gentleman asked the three newcomers. Warren Smith was turning all shades of red, hoping like hell that his internet lover wouldn't blow his cover, especially in front of his sister. Jeannie let go of Warren, then marched over to the table where Warren and Gwen were sitting. William Cheney, Jeannie barked. How dare you break up a perfectly good relationship to ask this traitor to marry you? And as for you, you so-called friend, Jeannie said, addressing Gwen, there's a special place in hell for you for what you've done. Fuck you. Fuck both of you. Jeannie turned around and stormed out of Ding's, stopping only long enough to get her coat on the way out. She cinched it around her, hiding her bosom in shame. You two stay here, Gwen commanded, pointing to Will and her ex-husband. She marched out the front door, following Jeannie outside. Orders to go. What was all that about? Warren Dubois was puzzled by the events of the past couple of minutes. Will saw it in his face. I'm puzzled myself. Will was in the state of semi-shock. He'd asked the girl from Goodbye to All That to marry him right in front of the man who played her stepbrother, who later married her in the real life once the show had run its course. He would rather that he had gone through with his original plan, which is to beg out of a relationship other than just being friends. For some reason, he felt compelled to ask Gwen to marry him, perhaps to keep her away from the man who had just asked him what was all that about just moments earlier. I'm Warren. Warren Dubois, he held his hand out to Will. I'm Will Cheney. I'm a fan, he said, shaking Warren's hand. You've obviously seen that turkey of a show Gwen and I were in way back then. I have them all on tape, on VHS, he answered. I was going to give them to Gwen when we got back to my place tonight. To tell you the truth, I was planning on telling Gwen that I was going to leave her alone. I only asked her to marry me on the spur of the moment because you showed up. I see, Warren Dubois told Will. The only reason I came here this evening was to take her aside for a minute or two and apologize for what she would have seen as outrageous behavior. I took on a mistress when I shouldn't have. I should have been more sensitive to the culture she grew up with. They do that sort of thing in Canada? I'm Quebecois. She was raised outside of Toronto. One nation, different cultures. Will glanced over to where Warren Smith and Jeannie had been sitting. Two of the three new arrivals were sitting down at the table. Warren and another girl were standing, looking out the window toward the parking lot. I have no idea where that came from, except that maybe Will was trying to protect me from my ex. I thought you were my friend. You betrayed me, Jeannie said, opening the door to her car. Well, I'll have you know that when I talk with Will after my ex-husband leaves, that I'll take back my acceptance of his proposal. I've told you from the beginning that I have no interest in your Will. Jeannie was propped between the doorframe and the roof of her car. Well, I hope you decide to do it before that little weasel I was with decides that he's going to use one of his condoms he has on his kitchen tables on me. You mean he's serious? Well, apparently so. He damn near reached for the merchandise I was aiming at Will. So what now? Are you going to just leave me alone with Will and the two Warrens? Don't look now, but I think that my problems with my Warren are over. He had one of the girls who came in seemed to know with, or he and one of the girls who came in with seemed to know each other. He'd be better off with someone his own age anyway. Just like Will's going to be better off with you. I just told you. I'll get this mess straightened out. I promised. So what should I do now? Jeannie asked. Wait here. I'll be back out in a few minutes after I've tried to straighten things out. Jeannie got in her car, started the engine, and put the heater on full blast. She agreed to wait, but no more than 10 minutes. Your sister was watching last night. Oh, God, you mean she saw everything? Amy nodded. Everything? Everything. She told me after you left. So who was that woman who kissed you and left? You went to Cougars or something? Well, she was Will's girlfriend, except he dumped her for that other woman who he just proposed to. I wonder what they're talking about out there. Warren and Amy were standing, looking out the storefront window, watching Gwen and Jeannie. Probably me, Warren grumbled. Moments later, he felt Amy's hand on his posterior, suggestively squeezing. May as well sit down and order, Amy told him. You might need the energy later tonight. Will and Warren Dubois were sitting down, chatting amicably, when Gwen came back in to face them. They both got up when she approached, sitting back down after she sat back down. Will, I'm sorry. I am too, Gwen. I only proposed because I thought that Warren here would try to disrespect you. I was going to tell you that you just wanted to be my friend. Thank you. I was almost afraid that you were going to take me seriously. I'm in love with someone else, Will confessed. You're the one who made me realize it. I hope I haven't blown it with her. Well, you came close, but something tells me that you can recover the fumble. Will you allow me to recover my fumble with you? Warren asked Gwen. Maybe in time. I really didn't appreciate your playing around behind my back. I know, and I apologize. That's why I came here, just to tell you. Well, that's sweet, Warren, but I need time to myself. Well, come over to see me at the Blue and the Gray for breakfast in the morning, and you'd be better bring Jeannie with you. Thanks, Will said. He stood up, reached in his wallet, pulled out a 20, and placed it on the table. See you tomorrow, he told Gwen. Will left Dings to walk out to Jeannie's car. She rolled down the window when he approached. Hi, he said, attempting to break what could have been an awkward silence. You still plan on getting married? Depends. On what, she asked. On whether or not the woman I really love will take me back after I've been such an asshole. What makes you think she'll take you back? She loves me as much as I love her, that's why. Get in, she told him. Will walked around the front of the car and got in. Still up for a pizza tonight? That'd be nice, she said. They drove back to Magnolia and ordered a pizza to go. They shut themselves into the bosom of her home, just missing the first flakes of snow approaching from the winter storm. There it is. A little bit longer today, but we've concluded that story almost in time for Valentine's Day. That's less than a week away. I do have a couple of things in mind to start in on next week. There's a short story which is somewhat appropriate. I'm thinking about either doing that or there's another story that I'm working on right now, which might give you a preview on. We'll have to see. Until next Thursday, we'll be seeing you.